Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our TOEIC unit for today, and we're going to be talking about money, or at least, well, maybe we'll talk about money. It kind of depends on what your perception of money is. To a lot of people, money is cash and coins, okay? Stuff that you can hold in your hands, that you can smell, you can taste it, and you can flash it around and let people see it. But nowadays, we're not really seeing money so much. We're just kind of seeing it as little numbers on the screens of our computers. We're talking about digital money here, or at least digital financial services, which are coming into effect in the third world as countries out there are trying to finance various projects using digital money.
Right. I have a couple of digital checking accounts. My Citibank account that I've had since I was, I think, 14, I only do online banking using that account. My banks here, I have three different accounts in different banks here just because of the different companies I've worked for. Right. They wanted me to open up an account at a certain bank. So here I use more cash than I usually do in America. But yeah, online banking is really the way of the future. But we're going to talk about how that's sometimes difficult for some communities of people and even some countries. We're going to talk more about what this DFS is. We're going to hear more and more about that as time goes on. Well, let's get started.
The purpose of this meeting is to discuss how to provide people living in poverty with better access to financial services.
First, I suggest we define the problem. According to a recent study, around 2 billion people worldwide lack access to financial services. Many of them live in developing countries, especially in rural areas.
What are the consequences of this?
These people are limited to a cash economy. This makes it more difficult to budget, make regular bill payments, and save for the future.
In addition, people in this situation are more vulnerable to sudden crises, such as bad harvests. Access to financial services would give them a better chance of weathering such storms.
How about working with some global banking companies to open more banks in developing countries?
The problem with that is related to the cash economy. It costs more for banks and other institutions to process cash transactions, and the customers often bear these extra costs.
We need to look at different solutions.
I think we should explore the possibilities of digital financial services, DFS. After all, people are becoming more accustomed to online banking.Digital financial services will allow people to move away from the cash economy.
That sounds like a good idea, but will people in rural areas have internet access?
That's definitely something we need to look into. I'll put that in the minutes. It's now time for us to discuss the content of today's TOEIC lesson. It's Unit 16, and the title is Financial Services for Those Who Need Them Most. Now, if you talk about something having to do with financial services, well, financial here means having to do with finance, which is basically how you pay for things. If you talk about finances, you talk about maybe getting a loan or something like that so you can pay for school or pay for a house or pay for a car or something like that. You need to have finances, a way to pay for something.
Right. So we're going to be talking about how some people actually have to live in a cash economy. They don't have access to any digital financial services and how that's tough to live that way. So Damien says the purpose of this meeting that they're going to have is to discuss how to provide people living in poverty with better access to financial services. If you're living in poverty, and that's the phrase they use, it means you have very little extra money to spend on fun things. You probably don't even have enough to make ends meet, is a phrase we use sometimes. You don't have enough money to pay for your essential bills, the necessities of life, For example, electricity or your clothes or a place to live. Those are your necessities. So they're trying to come up with some ideas on how to provide people living in poverty with better access to financial services. If you have access to something, it means you can get to it. It's available to you.
Right, so if they're living in poverty, maybe they can't set up businesses, and it's a vicious cycle where they're kept in poverty, and they're trying to figure out ways to help those people lift themselves out of poverty by establishing their own businesses, etc., etc. So here Erica has a suggestion. She says, first, I suggest we define the problem. Okay, if you're going to talk about the solution to a problem,You probably should know exactly what that problem is. Mm. You need to define it. Say exactly what the problem is, because if you start offering solutions, they might not be addressing the same problem. So you need to establish at the onset, at the beginning, what exactly your problem is. And she goes on to say, according to a recent study, around 2 billion people worldwide lack access to financial services. And that's a lot of people, 2 billion people. Gee, what's the world population now? Is it like 5 billion or something like that? It keeps going up all the time. I can't keep track of it. But still, that's a lot of people who lack access to financial services. They can't go to a bank. They can't get a loan, et cetera, et cetera. They're stuck using cash only. And this is worldwide, all over the world, in Asia, Africa, the Americas, Australia. It's a problem. All over the place.
Sure is, especially for folks living in developing countries. A developing country is a country that doesn't have a very high standard of living. They usually don't have a lot of financial or technical ability, or they haven't been industrialized to a great extent. You hear things like it's a third world nation or a third world country. That would be a developing nation or a developing country. Here in Taiwan, we're a first world country. We're not a developing nation. We have a very high standard of living, as you know. So they're going to try to help these folks living in developing countries, especially the folks that live in rural areas.Kind of a weird word to say, I think. Rural. Mm. It's actually not easy for us either, but I bet it's especially hard for you guys because it has two R's. Rural. Rural just means relating to the countryside. We're talking about countryside areas rather than areas in the city or a big town. So you're out there in the country. So they're going to be trying to help these folks.Who don't have access to financial services, especially because they live in the country or in developing nations.
In rural areas. And Bob has a question. What are the consequences of this? Now, if you talk about consequences, you talk about things that happen as a result of something else. Okay, so if you have a fear of the dentist, for example, well, the consequences could be you have rotting teeth. Eventually, you're going to probably lose all your teeth and you're going to have to get false teeth. Those are the consequences of never going to the dentist. You should go to the dentist, about once every 6 months or so, or once every year, to make sure your teeth are nice and healthy. There are always consequences. If you do something, there will be a resulting action. So, yeah, what's the consequence of this? What happens in the world because these people don't have access to financial services? Yeah, what happens because of that?
Well, they're limited because they're in a cash economy. A cash economy would just mean you have the kind of economy in your country or maybe your city or a rural area where goods and services are bought and paid for through cash. You can't use a credit card. You can't borrow and get a loan, perhaps. It's difficult to get a house if you can't borrow and have a mortgage, which allows you to pay for your house over time or your apartment over time. That's a cash economy. It makes it difficult to budget, If you budget, it means you decide how much you're going to spend every month in different categories, how much you're going to spend on food, on transportation, on rent. Usually your rent is a pretty regular, stable figure every month. So that's a budget. You can use budget as a noun or a verb. I need to budget a little better each year, or I have a really bad budget. I need to maybe break down the categories a little more. Make regular bill payments. That's tough if you're in a cash economy. I set up payments in my checking account where I pay the monthly bills automatically. I don't have to think about it. I'm never late. And so I don't get charged those late payments. Never have them because everything's set up online. You can also, it's difficult to save for the future if you're just working with cash. If you can't take your cash to a bank and put it into a savings account, it's difficult because you end up just spending it.
Yeah, I remember back in university, I had a checking account, and if you write checks for things, it gives you an automatic record of your spending, so it's easy to budget,
yeah.
To allocate finances for different things, for your bills, for your textbooks, for your clothing, for your food, etc. It was better to control things that way, but with cash, it just comes and goes like water, so it's difficult to do those things. If you're using just cash. Now, here's what Damien says. In addition, people in this situation are more vulnerable to sudden crises such as bad harvests. So again, according to him, if you're in the situation of only using cash in a cash economy, then it's easy for you to become a victim if there is something like a bad harvest. For example, if there wasn't enough rain that year, then your crops didn't grow very well, and so you could be in big trouble there. You're vulnerable to that situation, and here, vulnerable is an adjective that just means you can be easily hurt, okay, or easily damaged by certain circumstances. So you're vulnerable to these crises. And crises, of course, is the plural form of crisis. A crisis is a bad situation. A crisis could be indeed a drought or something like that. It could be a big storm. You could have a family crisis, for example.
Yeah.
If someone is sick or something like that, or somebody got in trouble and they're going to have to go to jail or something, that could be a big problem, some big trouble in your family. In this particular case, it's something bad in someone's life, like a bad harvest.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. Weather such storms. If you weather a storm, you're getting through a difficult period of time. So we all want to be able to weather difficult storms or weather storms in our lives. So Bob says, how about working with some global banking companies to open more banks in developing countries? You kind of have to give incentives or something that entices or gets banks to go to developing countries because it's risky. It's more risky out there. But you need to get some of these global banking companies to open banks in developing countries to give folks a chance to have a better access to financial services so they don't have to just deal in cash only. So Eric says the problem with that is related to the cash economy. It costs more for banks and other institutions to process cash transactions. It's slower. You have to count money. You know, you have to do all of this hard labor. It takes more work to actually work with folks who are used to just dealing in cash. An institution is a word we use for big organizations, especially ones that are set up to help people. I would say that institutions used more specifically for banking, I would say, or government organizations. It's an organization usually that's founded for a religious purpose, maybe an educational purpose, a professional or social purpose. If they're there to make profit, we typically don't call them institutions. Although with banking, with the banking industry, we'll often say banking institutions. It's true.
Yeah, when I was a kid, of course, my parents would threaten me, hey, if you don't behave yourself, we're going to send you to a mental institution.
For crazy people.
Which I think is kind of a mean thing to say to a kid.
Yes.
But in any case here, these are financial institutions, a bank, a savings and loan, if they still exist, or maybe, cooperatives or whatever. They can process these transactions, but they do it in cash. And, of course, that costs more for banks. And, of course, as you know, banks want to make some money. They are a private business, and they don't want to spend time counting cash by hand. And oftentimes, the customers will bear these extra costs. And therefore, if they have to pay extra interest or something like that, then they won't want to use these financial institutions. Now, Damien says we need to look at different solutions. We need to consider some other possible answers to this problem. And Erica says, well, I think we should explore the possibilities of digital financial services, or DFS for short. Digital, of course, means having to do with computers. Financial services, of course, are when banks loan you money and stuff like that.
Right. Now, after all, it says people are becoming more accustomed to online banking. You're getting used to it. That means the same thing. I'm becoming accustomed to the food in Taiwan. I'm becoming used to the food in Taiwan. I'm too accustomed. I like it too much, honestly. So digital financial services will allow people to move away from the cash economy, and that's going to help them in the long run. Bob says that sounds like a good idea, but will people in rural areas have internet access? That's true. Sometimes cable companies don't get out that way. They don't lay down the cable, which allows us to have the internet. So they'll need the internet if they want to do some of this online banking, for sure. Damien says that's definitely something we need to look into. If you look into something, you do some research, check it out, find some more information to look into it. And he says, I'll put that in the minutes. Most of you who have been to meetings at a company know that at the end of the meeting, somebody usually writes up some notes from the meeting and then emails them to everybody so that everybody knows what you talked about and maybe the action items that resulted from the discussion, what you need to do as a follow-up to the meeting. Those are called meeting minutes.
Indeed. And those meeting minutes, of course, will help everyone feel that the meeting actually accomplished something and was not a complete waste of time. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation here. We're going to listen to our Chinese teacher right now.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. 我们今天要看的是第16单元。我们要先来看一则对话。今天的对话内容主题呢，跟金融服务有关。这个金融服务要谈的是 DFS。这三个字讲的是 Digital Financial Services， 意思就是数位金融服务。好，我们先看对话的内容里面。这一篇呢，他说有一场会议在展开，而这个会议呢，就是要谈怎么帮生活穷困的人提供更多可以获得金融服务的机会。开头这句话哦，他提到有一个字叫 access， access 本来就是一个管道，通往什么的管道。当你说要帮助这些穷人有什么管道，这个管道 access 后面介系词是 to。我们看到这句话里头还有另外一个重点，就是 provide 这个动词。 provide 是提供，当你说 provide somebody with something， 就是提供人什么样的服务。另外一个字相对的也是代表提供的，就是 offer。 可是你用 offer 的时候，你会注意到offer somebody something， 你是不需要再写一个 with 在中间的。好，我们再往下看，他说啊，要提供穷人获得金融服务的机会。那 Erica 就说，他的建议是我们要先界定这个问题。 I suggest we define the problem。 我们注意到这里其实也有一个重要的文法概念，就是 suggest。 suggest 它本来的意思呢，当然可以当建议，可是我们知道建议 suggest 这个字它也属于一种命令动词，所以它后面呢如果加一个子句 suggest that somebody do something， 它的语气上 其实是有一个 should 表示你应该要这样做，而这个 should 往往都省略掉不写，你只看到一个原形动词，就像在这边 should 不见了，你看到的 define 它是一个原形动词哦。我建议我们要这样做，就是界定这个问题的定义。好，我们先看下面继续说了，他谈到了一些数字哦，谈到有这么多的人，20亿的人口都没有获得金融服务，而且很多人都是生活在开发中的国家，尤其是乡下地方。那这样子有什么后果呢？好， Erica 继续说了，这样子的人呢，就会被局限在所谓的 cash economy。 cash economy 指的就是现金经济，它完全是用现金交易的。那这边当然还有一个片语要留意的是are limited to， 一样的，我们注意到介系词的 to， 我们已经看到第二个跟 to 有关的片语，刚刚说如果你有 have access to something， 这个地方 be limited to， 其实它的意思就是 be confined to， be restricted to， 受限于，局限于。好，那局限于现金经济，接下来我们就来看那该怎么办呢？ Bob 就建议了哦，他说要不然就是这样，我们呢有一些全球性的这种银行，我们多设这样子的银行在开发中国家，这样来帮助这边的人好不好呢？哎，他说这样子的建议 Erica 听起来好像没有解决问题呢，因为他说问题就在于还是跟 cash economy 有关。好，我们又看到了这个片语哦， is related to， 刚刚顺着下来，这里又是一个片语，用介系词 to 再加名词和什么相关，提到说这样子的问题跟现金交易有关，因为呢，哎，这样子的话银行啊这种机构它要处理现金交易要花更多钱，而且这个负担会转嫁到顾客身上，所以说可能 Bob 的提议也不是一个很好的解决办法。因此呢，达米安就讲，哎，那我们要来想想还有没有别的解决方式呢？所以 Erica 说，我们应该来研究一下这 DFS 所谓的数位金融服务的可能性，因为哦，现在越来越多人都习惯用网络银行了。好，我们再看这个片语，习惯于，我们知道习惯于呢是 be accustomed to， become accustomed to， 一样的就表示变成习惯于，但是要注意的是后面的 to， to 还是介系词。诶，习惯于什么事情又来了，又来了一个介系词 to 再加名词，人们是越来越习惯用网络银行了。那如果我们用 DFS 这种数位金融服务的话，就可以让人们去摆脱现金经济，因为现金经济真的会造成这个贫穷的人可能更没有办法善用他们手边有的钱。好，那我们听起来呢， Bob 也觉得说是不错啦，可是在乡下地方的人没办法上网怎么办？所以结论就是，说来说去还必须要再做仔细一点的研究。然后呢，他也提到了，我会把这个问题就放在我们的会议记录当中。好，注意到这里有个字 minutes 在没有加 s 之前，大家都知道它代表一分钟两分钟的这个分，但是呢，我们看到 minutes 加了 s 之后，诶，我们会把它当作是会议记录。好，我们今天讲解就到这边结束咯，我们下次见。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, let's talk about some extra dialogues here. We've also got a discussion question. So in the first extra dialogue, we've got Bob and Erica talking. So Bob says, what other advantages do digital financial services offer?
They can create more business opportunities for people, which is awesome because everybody wants to improve their wealth. You know, they want to add or increase their wealth. So you need some business opportunities to do that. So the DFS will actually help some of these folks. That's a good thing. Okay, next one. Digital transactions are also faster and more reliable.
That's definitely a huge benefit. So again, we're talking about DFS here, digital financial services or digital transactions. And this is Erica's opinion. They're faster and more reliable. Yes, indeed, they can be done electronically just by using a keyboard or swiping the screen of your smartphone. And Damien agrees with that. Damien says that's definitely a huge benefit for everybody involved. Now, let's take a look at the next conversation here. It says, are there any case studies we can look at?
Yes, there are some from Africa. I'll send you the details after the meeting. We use case studies to learn more about how some organizations or companies handled a problem or worked through an issue. A lot of times, if you go to business school, some of your classes will include case studies. They're usually 20 to 50 pages long, and they've been written up, and they're based on actual organizations that had this situation. And then you talk through them and decide what they did that would be helpful to you, maybe what they did that was wrong. Those are case studies. And actually, we're going to look at some case studies from Africa in day two of our TOEIC unit, so you can look forward to that. Now, here's our last discussion question, Tom. Do you use online banking? Why or why not?
Do I use online banking? Well, I suppose I do. I'm just a simple worker here. But yes, most of the time when I'm working, the money is deposited directly into my bank account. But on other occasions, I am paid in cash. Cash is still king here in Taiwan. People here love their cash. And sometimes I'm kind of surprised that certain purchases cannot be made with a credit card. I think when I bought my last digital camera, I fully expected to be able to use my credit card. And they said, sorry, we don't take credit cards. You got to pay in cash. But yes, indeed, there is some online banking done here. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I'm totally into online banking, especially because I transfer a lot of the money I earn here back to my bank in America, where then I can write these online checks, which is really convenient. But yeah, I think it's pretty amazing, pretty great. One of the reasons why companies don't like to use credit cards is they have to pay a small fee to the credit card company each month based on how many people use their credit card. So it actually costs them some money. So they don't like that, but it is more convenient, that's for sure. We got to wrap up for today, but we hope you'll join us for day two of our TOEIC unit. We're going to be focusing on Ghana and Tanzania and their successes using DFS. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.